Through the example of Father Capon, we are given a model of how to be hope to a hopeless world, to be light to a dark world, to be so filled with joy that people desire to be around us. There's an urgency in the world right now. I want to enter the mission territory. In fact, the Lord has called all of us into this battle for souls. He's not given anybody a pass on that. Welcome to the Foxhole.
Welcome, everyone. This is Jason Searle, and on behalf of Capon's Men, we thank you for joining us in the Foxhole. Our podcast helps to tell the story of the most highly decorated chaplain in United States Army history, servant of God, Father Emil Capon, a priest from Kansas, who lived the gospel in his simple daily life, all the way through his heroic actions on the battlefields and the prisoner of war camp in Korea, where he eventually died at the hands of his captors. The Foxhole has been honored to host guests who are making a difference in their communities, families, and their faith circles, and we explore how they, just like Father Capon, are doing the simple things in extraordinary ways. This week, we're honored to have Father Drew Hoffman. He's a Wichita native who attended both the seminaries Father Capon went to, Conception Seminary College and then Kenrick Seminary. He was ordained a priest for the Diocese of Wichita in 2017, serving first at the Cathedral of the Immaculate Conception in Wichita, and for the last year and a half as an associate chaplain at St. Isidore's Catholic Campus Center at Kansas State University in Manhattan, Kansas. Despite his current role supporting the faith of Catholic Wildcats, he is a devout Kansas Jayhawk basketball fan. It's not often you see such divided allegiances here in Kansas. With friends, he once put together a March Madness bracket pitting the greatest saints from the history of the church against each other to find out who would come out on top. If he is chair of the selection committee, he'd have to address my grievance of having a potential St. Francis Xavier, St. Ignatius Loyola matchup from the same regional in the Sweet 16, so let's hope he's able to shed some light into that story. He loves Greek and Hebrew, and he's been known to work that into his homilies from time to time. He loves being a priest, and he loves Father Capon. And as a matter of fact, he helped Capon's Men tell the story of the pillar of formation in our stewardship series. So we're grateful to his perspective, and he's humbled us again today by taking the time out to share his story with us on this podcast. Before we get to Father Drew and to Joe, I want to remind everyone you can find all our faith formation resources at capensmen.com. Joe's going to lead us with a prayer, and with this, it's an honor to introduce and welcome Father Drew and Joe. Welcome, brothers, and thanks for joining us in the Foxhole.
Thank you, Jason, and thank you anyone who's downloaded the podcast today for taking a little bit of your time to be encouraged and inspired, and I think today you are going to be blessed. You know, Pope Francis once said, no one is useless and no one is expendable, and I think a lot about that when I pray about my days in college, because it was this time of great searching, but it was also a time of great loneliness and confusion, and one of the blessings that our Catholic Church in the United States has done is to place Newman centers or places, maybe churches close to campuses where our priests and lay ministers can minister to college students who maybe are wayward or maybe are struggling or maybe just want a place to call home when they're a long way away from their home. So we're going to be blessed by that. I want to pray today, and I want to invite everybody who's listening right now to pray for all the college students all over the country, especially this past couple of years, as crazy as their experience of college has been, to pray for them to kind of understand more that not only are they not useless, they are being used by God and they are useful, but they are not expendable, and that God can use them for great things, and even when they've maybe hit a bump or two in the road. So in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we just invite you back onto our college campuses, Lord, especially those that maybe have pushed you to the fringes. And I pray, God, for the young men and women who are on those campuses today. I pray for those that are lonely. I pray for those that are uncertain of their future. I pray, God, for those that maybe have left their faith back in their hometown. I pray, God, that you just bring them closer to you. I pray for those that have made some mistakes. I pray, God, that they know that we are a church of mercy, of love and forgiveness. And I pray, God, for all the men, the priests that are serving on college campuses. I pray, God, for the lay people that are serving on college campuses, that you just give them a little bit more encouragement today, Lord. Help them to know the work they are doing is important, and the work they are doing is, in the long view, Lord, paying dividends. I ask all these things to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of my Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father Drew, welcome to the Foxhole.
Happy to be here, guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, man, you've got a voice for radio. I can hear
it. Let's do it.
You're like super smooth. Yeah, let's go. Well, look, Jason brought up this bracket you did. And he seems right out of the box to be carrying some Jesuit bitterness about that one section of the bracket. So do you want to speak into that first? I'll give you a chance to defend yourself. I got a couple questions myself, but I'd rather start with what Jason said.
Yeah, there's some wounds there that evidently are coming out. Sounds like Virginia Tech when they get left out of the bracket on a yearly basis. But the deal with the bracket was, this is several years ago, I was a priest at the cathedral, and our confirmation team, the young adults who taught confirmation at the cathedral with me, were thinking through, just kind of as a joke, who were the five most important saints of all time. And then, unsurprisingly, we took it way too seriously. And so we, like a March Madness bracket, had the top 64 to try to figure out who was the most influential in church and world history. So not who was the holiest, not who was kind of the one we should look the most like, but whose life is most impactful even up till now. And so what he's speaking of is that the two-seed, St. Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits, had to go up against the three-seed, who was his best friend, St. Francis Xavier, the patron saint of missionaries, who baptized 300,000 people with his own hand, had to go up against each other kind of in this Sweet 16 regional, so the mentor and the apprentice. And so, again, I couldn't have more than one Jesuit in the Elite Eight. And so the selection committee has to make some decisions to get the best matchups, and I won't apologize for that.
No, I think you had to put that, and I appreciate it. Now, as a Lebanese Catholic, I kept searching for Charbel because I felt like he would be kind of a dark horse in this thing. And I was like, man, there's got to be one team that nobody sees coming. And so I feel like maybe I'm misreading it on there.
Our biases probably came through and our lack of knowledge. These were not a bunch of guys who know everything about the Catholic Church. So there's probably lack of representation for a number of the other communities within the Catholic tradition. So we will admit that we were not omniscient in this process, but I'll defend my selection committee.
I think you did pretty well. I think it's pretty solid. Jason brought up one other thing I think we should probably make sure we understand, and that is this Kansas State. And I'm a UNC fan, and we appreciate y'all giving us a coach. Yeah, I mean, you guys did a nice thing, sent a Roy to us. But I'm curious, how's that working on campus with you when they're playing a little basketball?
The day Roy left is probably the saddest I've ever seen my father. He was like taking me to track practice. He just was like, had this defeated look on his face. And he tried to like justify that everything was going to be okay. And it has been okay. It is a mess. So the other day I was watching the KU Texas Tech were playing in basketball, and I'm watching it in my office, my computer, kind of like shamefully in the dark watching it. And I'm yelling like I learned from my dad to do. And I make this big scene all the time about how I'm a converted man. I'm a Wildcat at heart. Now I'm wearing a purple jacket right now. I've got Wildcat stuff all over my office. But I'm yelling and hooting and hollering for the Jayhawks in basketball. And then I walk into the chapel because I was a few minutes late for confessions, and everybody could have heard me yelling and hooting and hollering and knew that I'm kind of a fraud when it says I'm fully converted. But I'm mostly converted.
No, that is, you're like, I will tell you the truth, and it is for the context. I know this podcast won't be released in the new year, but today's an important day. I don't know anything what your professional football biases are, Father Drew, but the Bengals beat the Steelers yesterday. So those
I'm
who are
a
listening
big Chiefs
that,
fan.
Well, you're a good man, and you're in good company right now. As a Bengals fan, we don't win often, so it'll be very easy to
That's
track
so
the
funny.
Historical date of this. But I want to talk about your life on college campus, because I did allude to that. And for me, that was to be completely honest with you, it was a dark time. It was a lonely time. And for a young guy like yourself to enter into that in the role of chaplain, I'd talk a little bit about what a chaplain does, what's the faith life like, and maybe some of what you're encountering day to day.
Sure. So I, like I said, went to the University of Kansas. I was very involved in St. Lawrence Center there. So I had an experience of what I desired from a Newman Center. But to be honest, I never necessarily drifted terribly far from the faith or questioned a lot. I'm really grateful for Bishop Carroll, the impact that my high school had. And so I didn't quite know what to expect when the Bishop of Wichita assigned me up here to be the associate. what does a chaplain do? He does everything. Like my days in the days before COVID were so wildly weird and different and strange. And so I would be doing marriage preparation for a young couple who just got engaged. I would be watching the students in an intramural game. I'd be hanging out in Aggieville, which is K-State's bar district, at appropriate times, I would be speaking to the volleyball team. I would be hearing hours and hours of confessions. I would be having students pop into my office who had just gone through a breakup or were doubting the Catholic Church, or what's actually becoming more and more and more common, non-Catholics wanting to know what this Catholic thing is about. And so it's hard to explain what I do all day, because I just wake up in the morning and then get revved up and then crash into bed at night. And so being a chaplain is awesome. It's awesome, 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 especially at a place like K-State and St. Isidore's is our campus center here, where just things are flourishing. Father Gail Hammerschmidt is our pastor here, and he's done a tremendous job with vision, with leadership, and focus. Fellowship of Catholic University Students has done an awesome job just showing people that there is a better way. You said that experience of darkness and loneliness, and kids are experiencing that. They're experiencing that, and they've been presented with these false things, these things that have not made them happy, these things in high school or even in their early experience of college, which has led them left them dry and sad and believing that there is more. And so whether through a friend, whether through a parent, whether through their own initiative, always through the grace of God, they end up in the vicinity of the campus center. Or I spend a lot of time on campus. I walk on campus an hour every day praying the rosary. People have questions, concerns, complaints, all of that. I love being a chaplain. I love it.
Man, you sound like you're made for it. How about speak to the man or the woman who's downloaded this podcast, and myself being one of them who's listening right now. I have three kids in college, Father Drew. And what is one thing that you'd say, hey, guys, here's one thing that I'd tell you can do to either engage, encourage your student who's away at school right now?
Sure. So the obvious one is to pray, and I won't count that as a thing, but to not take that lightly. I just finished recording a podcast for our own podcast on St. Augustine and his mom, St. Monica, who just prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And it took a long time for Augustine to realize that his mom wasn't what he thought she was, which is kind of like a rural, superstitious hick, actually, but was a deeply faithful woman who had his best interests in heart. So kids will hopefully realize that eventually. The thing you do is if you can provide them with resources, especially I think of young, energetic priests or campus centers, whatever campus center they're on, or even if the campus center they're on, you don't have the resources, those people like Father Mike Schmitz and other young, energetic priests that are working in college ministry, to provide them with some of those videos or resources. So many students come in and they speak, I watched a YouTube video, I heard a podcast, and that's what maybe kind of kicked my butt into gear. And so not to bombard them necessarily with overly pious stuff, but there's a lot of good stuff. Using a little, hey, just I'll get off your back, but I encourage you to watch this video, listen to this podcast, something, and then pray your tail off that's going to work and act in their life. It's hard. I feel for parents who are desiring that their kids return to the church. We hear it all the time. And so to provide them even with those kind of technological resources that maybe can prime the pump a little bit.
No, well, I'm not calling my mom St. Monica or me St. Augustine, but my mother late in life, the last 10 years, told me she prayed the rosary every day for me when I was away at school. So I don't want that to be missed by anyone listening. Like those prayers, they may not be quick answers, but they're there.
They'll work. They will work. And we don't know the time or anything like that. But particularly for parents to pray the rosary daily for their kids. I tell parents that all the time. Pray the rosary, pray the rosary, pray the rosary, and let the Blessed Mother take care of the rest.
Well, and speaking of the rosary, you know, I'm a Bengals fan, so we're going to talk about football right now, but not the Bengals. But I have to pray a lot of rosaries because I'm a Bengals fan. You and Father Hammerschmidt, I think, have been on the sidelines maybe of Kansas State football games. So tell me a little bit about what that's like, being a chaplain of a football team. I imagine that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so it's something we enjoy doing a lot. So we have mass for the team the night before the game or the morning of the game. And there also is then kind of a non-denominational chapel service, and the students and the players can choose where they would prefer to go. And every once in a while, we've done both of those things, just to kind of give some variety of it. And then in the days before COVID, we could kind of stand on the sideline and watch the game there and have to talk to a few of the players maybe that weren't playing as much. We're not necessarily talking to the quarterback during the game. But in the age of COVID, of course, we're not on the sidelines. They've got to limit those types of things. But it's something we've loved, and we're really grateful that Coach Snyder had allowed some of that before, and Coach Kleiman has allowed in these early days of his time here. And we think it's influential for the students. It's influential for us to see the players and their hard work, their devotion, the Catholic and the non-Catholic. These players, they got a lot on their plates. I can't fathom doing college and playing Division I football. And all of our athletes here, we have a lot of athletes involved at St. Isidore's, volleyball players, track, cross country, kind of across the board. They have this experience of discipline, which is so vital for the spiritual life, and of hard work and of commitment to a team and all of those virtues and values. So I hope that our experience with the different teams is helpful for the players, but it's definitely a big time encouragement for Father Gale and I to see athletes active in their faith. And there's a lot of them.
Praise the Lord for that. I think that, well, and there is some value. I did some work with them as well back in the day in Eastern North Carolina, some of the football guys, and they are incredible, disciplined, hardworking guys. You've said it twice, so I'm going to leave the world here and just ask you quickly. St. Isidore is the name of the campus center you work at, correct?
Uh-huh. Yes, sir.
Tell me a little bit. It's a unique saint to choose for that area. Can you tell me a little bit about why St. Isidore? Is Isidore the farmer and patron saint?
Isidore the farmer. So there's another. Yeah, there's another Isidore as well, but Isidore the farmer is our patron saint, and he was a farmer in Spain, and his wife actually is a blessed or a canonized saint, kind of depends on what you read. But K-State, of course, is largely an agricultural institution, especially when it started, and it does a lot of great things now in a variety of ways, but it's an agricultural background, and so it's fitting to have the patron saint of farmers. And so the most famous story about St. Isidore is that he would at times be caught praying in the fields, and then when people were wondering how he could get his work done, he's wasting his time praying. There are images of angels finishing the job and doing the work for him. I love that as an image, that when we give time to God, the rest of the work gets done. There's a great story about Mother Teresa, and somebody asked her why they do a holy hour every day. Doesn't that seem like a waste of time you could be given to the poor? She said, when I give an hour to the Lord, it is not as if I have 23 hours left, but somehow as if I have 25. And Isidore exemplifies that, and I think that's what we want our students to live out to.
Yeah, that's the beauty of our Catholic faith. Like, everything has meaning. And even that, I mean, that idea, as you're walking on the campus of that school, to know why St. Isidore is there. So you have been quoted as saying, courage is contagious. And certainly that nowadays with the pandemic, that word contagious makes people nervous. But tell me a little bit about courage being contagious, and what exactly, how does that play out?
So I think this is an idea that was always bubbling up in my heart and in my prayer, but has especially overflowed during my time as a college chaplain. Basically, this simple idea is that what people often need to see, they know what they should do, they know what they're supposed to do, they may even know the truth, but often that last movement into practice won't take place until they see someone be brave. That what they need, maybe more than anyone else, is to see one person be brave. So I see that a lot on a college campus. I see that in the student who is willing to raise their hand and question something that a professor brings up. There's a dozen students in that class who agree, actually, but everyone feels alone because no one wants to speak up and say it. But once one of them does, a few more of them recognize, okay, I'm not alone here, actually, and if they did it, I can do it as well. I see that in the fraternities and the sororities here on campus. Sometimes you'll have maybe whole houses that you don't really ever see many of them at all in Mass, and you'll see whole houses in which carloads of guys or girls are coming to Mass every week. It isn't necessarily that there's more or less Catholics in those houses, although that could sometimes be true. But often the difference is that one stood up and said, I'm going to Mass. Does anyone want to come with me? and did it again and again and again. And so those guys or girls, they realize that person's being brave. Maybe I can be brave too. And so again and again, we think that our courage and our bravery is often wasted. We think that what good is this going to do? No one's going to follow me. No one else believes it's going to be wasted. I'm going to get laughed at. We have no idea the ripple effects of that courage or bravery. Father Andy Hammacky is a chaplain at Sacred Heart, the high school in Salina. He talks all the time about one of the big turning points in his life was looking over at a all-school mass at TMP High School in Hayes and seeing one of the coolest dudes in school singing. And if you went to Catholic school, you know the last thing in the world you want to do is let people know that you care about mass and that you're interested in what's happening. Absolutely, you're not singing during mass. That's like a death sentence. Father Hammacky said, if that guy can sing, maybe I can sing. And bigger, if that guy can be brave, maybe I can be brave too. So I love this idea. I see it a lot on a college campus, that one person's courage has ripple effects, has an impact in a much bigger way.
Yeah, I think it really personifies Father Capon as well, for sure, with the idea that courage is courageous. And you were on the video series that we did on forum.org. I remember it because I think we were in the Lord's Diner, if I'm not mistaken. But tell me a little bit, Father Drew, you have a huge knowledge of saint history and saints and saint stories. What has Father Capon meant to you? How would you connect him to this idea?
Great. I'm looking at a big painting of Father Capon that I have in my office. The Flint Hills Veteran Committee, which a group of veterans in the Manhattan area, actually had me speak about Father Capon at their Veterans Day parade in November here in Manhattan. And I, obviously, he is just a deep, deep hero of mine, having gone to the same seminaries and being of the same diocese of him. But I think it fits right into this courage is contagious idea, because what did those men need to see? And this is something actually that I've spoken about with the football team before, but if we're in a rough spot, if we're in a mess, the temptation is to fold, of course. We're in a rough spot right now, but football game is not going well. You've just given up a big touchdown. Father Capon's situation of captivity and of cold and of hunger. Okay, the temptation is to fold. And if I see other people folding around me, that implicitly gives me permission to do the same thing. In a football huddle, if you look around and you see some guys, kind of, you see the body language is struggling, you see them folding a little bit. Okay, whether you acknowledge that or not, I have been given permission to break down as well. What Capon does is, in the middle of all of this, when everyone's tempted to fold, he remains firm and strong and brave, and he gives confidence and hope. And so all of the men, they see that, and they realize, if he can be brave, maybe I can too. If he can keep going, maybe I can as well. And so he continues to provide this courage that, you know, not the right word in our current world, but infects the whole group, and it's why his captors were so afraid of him.
All right, Father, I'm about to make you the man in the locker room. There's a kid whose younger brother plays football at Kansas State. He's an offensive lineman. His name is Noah Johnson. I don't know if you've bumped into him, but if you talk to him, you tell him Joe Ferris says hello. He's a big
Noah
dude.
Noah was a captain this year.
Yeah, big. He's not a young man. He is a young man. He's a big guy.
The Bishop Carroll boy, too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. His family moved to Kansas after Eastern North Carolina. So, yeah. Father, everyone is wondering right now, who won your saint bracket? Did you have a winner?
We did it twice. And one time we did it with the students in person. One time we did it online during the pandemic. And so when we did it with the students in person, the winner was St. Augustine. And when we did it online, the winner was Pope St. John Paul II. I think both are fairly defendable positions. Our one seeds were Augustine, Francis, Benedict, and Thomas Aquinas. Our two seeds, John Paul II, Therese, Ignatius of Loyola, and I believe maybe Catherine of Siena or Leo the Great. I need to look back at the bracket. But all good. Oh my. The reason we do this bracket, and it sounds so silly and dumb, is that it helps us to maybe learn about some saints that were influential. It reminds us the church has made a huge impact on the world, the biggest impact that any organization has made on the world, the Catholic Church has. And so a number of schools have actually used the bracket as a class Like, I know one school that it was an elective for the middle schoolers to take Saint Bracket, the class. And you learned about the Saints, you voted on them, you defended them, things like that. So it's a kind of a dumb thing, but I do think that it's worth learning, and with Capon among them, that the women and men of Catholic history have changed not just the church, but have changed the world.
Well, Father Drew, I can tell you that once we get Charbel on that thing, Lebanese people, we tend to take it over. So we're going to look at putting our names on that soon.
I mean,
but I will tell you.
Learn that for the rewrite.
You're a blessing. Yeah. I'll get another. We'll have it. Yeah, we're Lebanese people. We'll just make our own bracket. But I will tell you, you are a blessing. The work you're doing, I know, is hugely important. And I just ask anyone listening to say extra prayers for Father Drew and for all those that are chaplains on college campuses around our country. And Father Drew, I want to assure you of our prayers and ask you to pray us out of here at the back end. Scott will come on and kind of close us out. But thank you. Be assured of my prayers and pray us off here.
Let's pray. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face shine on you and have mercy on you. May he show you his face and give you peace. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come down on you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Father Drew, thanks for taking the time to share about your ministry as a priest and chaplain with us here in the Foxhole. As a fellow basketball fan and Saint nerd, I thoroughly enjoyed the concept of the Saint Bracket from the very first moment that I heard you talking about it here at the Cathedral. And so for everyone listening, it's something that we've linked to here in the show notes for this episode, and I hope you'll have the opportunity to check it out for yourselves and maybe be inspired to learn a little something about the great history of our saints and be reminded of the impact that the Catholic Church has had on the world. It's truly, truly remarkable. So thanks for coming up with that. I also really appreciated your thoughts on courage, and I know that's something that I've been praying for a lot lately, is the courage and prudence to know when to speak up and when to share something about the faith, and then really to not be afraid to do it. And I think I want to make that the challenge this week, that we ask Father Capon to intercede for us for courage, so that the next time that we have the opportunity to stand up for the truth and the faith, that we can follow the Holy Spirit's prompting to do so. And as you said, Father, that courage might be contagious, and we might see it affect the people around us as well. So let's pray to Father Capon, asking him to help us to have that courage. Finally, Lent is coming up very quickly, and we here in the Foxhole want to make sure that you don't waste it. That's why we're teaming up with the men of Rekindle the Fire in the Diocese of Fort Wayne, South Bend, Indiana, to bring you The Battle. It's an 8-week Lenten series to help you recognize the enemy and fight on the side of grace. The reality is the devil's out there, and he attacks us and our identity as men, as fathers, as husbands and friends. But the truth is God is always with us, and he gives us the tools to fight back. The battle begins on February 10th. That's the week before Ash Wednesday, to get us all prepped and ready. We hope you'll join us in this great fight for ourselves, for our families, and for the church. So thanks for listening today. We appreciate you coming here to join us in the Foxhole. And we pray that Father Capon and all the saints are with us this week as we live our lives of faith. Stay humble and stay courageous.
Thanks for joining us in the Foxhole. As we go, we're blessed to leave you with these words from Father Capon himself.
We can surely expect that in our own lives there will come a time when we must make a choice between being loyal to the true faith or of giving allegiance to something else which is either opposed to or not in alliance with our faith. O God, we ask of Thee to give us the courage to be ever faithful to Thee. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. May the blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of you. Amen.